So this is the trespass offering, and as I said, Mike wrote this 16 years ago, and this is part one and two, but just part one. Introduction is the scriptures concerning this offering will demonstrate, as I pointed out at the close of the sin offering, that one, both the sin and trespass offering are primarily for sin done in ignorance. What this means is that our carnal mind with which we are born needs not be aware of the fact that sinful flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. For the wages of sin to be demanded and required of us all. In the second part, then we will also see that there is a standard by which we are judged. That standard, of course, is Christ, called here the shekel of the sanctuary. What this means is that we are in a hopeless condition and position. None of us can come up to that standard. Christ alone can save us from our condition and our debt. And then the third part, we will see that unlike the sin offering, in the trespass offering, restitution is made to the object of the trespass, whether it was God or fellow man. In truth, when we sin against our fellow man, we sin against God, and restitution must be made. Matthew 25, verse 40, to bring that point alive. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So these are the four points of this study. And the fourth one now, and I just want to mention, of course, good or bad, whether we do good or, and that's what the parable concludes, of course. And we know that the Lord's working that. Finally, we see that in the fourth part, that we are bought with a price, and we are not our own. Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And there's other scriptures that talk about what that price is. It's the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 22 and 23. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not you the servants of men. Which is just another way of saying, don't be a servant of sin. Don't be subject to men, but be subject to Christ and to subject to Christ and each other. This principle is expressed as adding a fifth thereto in the trespass offering. The fifth is also connected with the number five. Five is throughout Scripture. Five is throughout Scripture is always connected with grace through faith. Adding the fifth thereto more than restores what was lost, as in Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The institution of the trespass offering, Leviticus 5:15. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance, in the holy things of the Lord, verse 17, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. In verse 17, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, he's ignorant of it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Is this in line with what the New Testament teaches? Of course it is. It foreshadows this truth in Ephesians 2, verse 1. and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. Is there any difference between trespasses and sins? The answer, of course, is an emphatic yes, there is a difference. We were not shapen in trespasses. It is not in trespasses that our mothers conceived us all. Sex within the marriage union is not a sin, but we are all shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. This is our condition while we are in our mother's womb, having done neither good nor evil. Psalms 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It is in this helpless state that we are hated by God, simply because we are all in Adam, in Edom, in Esau, in Babylon, before we can come out of Babylon and be in Jacob, in the Israel of God, in Christ. That is why Esau was born first and afterward Jacob. It was all to typify the spiritual truth which is to be lived in all of us, in us all. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 and 46. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. And this is the first point of the 4 points. Both sin and trespass offerings are primarily for sins done in ignorance. Do the types found in the law of Moses witness to this condition? Of course they do. Leviticus 4, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. The distinctive character of the trespass offering. Part A. As with the sin offering, the trespass offering is not a sweet savor. Christ is seen as suffering for sins, though not his own. Restitution was required to be made. What that verse is? Just quickly look at that. So as with the sin offering, the trespass offering is not a sweet savor. Christ is seen as suffering for sins, though not his own. 2 Corinthians 5. Right there. 21, which reads, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in part B, in every case of trespass, wrong was done to someone, an act of evil was committed against either God or man. The offering had to be made, not because he was evil, but because he had done evil. The trespass committed might be blatant, as in robbery or a sin of which the trespasser was ignorant. The unwitting sin was to be especially seen as wrong in holy things, not in cases of wrong against neighbor. Either way, an offering was required to be made, the emphasis being on the act itself rather than the sinner. Leviticus 5, verses 14 to 19 will bring this out. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, verse 17, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy things, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things, which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. The one that comes to mind for me is, haven't we done many wonderful works? They don't realize that the self-righteousness, the iniquity, has made those works null and void. They were wonderful works. They served their purpose. And but the harm done in the holy things, these were holy things, is what God is bringing us to see here through this particular part of the study, which is what we are, which is what we all do in our time until we come out of Babylon and we come to acknowledge God's sovereignty and the man of perdition sitting on the throne of our hearts. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, he doesn't know, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering, unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Had his mind trespassed? No, he wasn't even aware that a trespass had been committed. Kind of like going through a red light that you didn't know you went through. Maybe that's not the best example, but when you come into court, Mike has used that example, ignorance is no excuse. And that's the real point. God is bringing us to see that we're in sinful bodies. We're going to fall seven times. And we may not even know that we have offended. And that's, of course, the goal. As Christ increases in us, we offend less and less. That is the goal through Christ. And only Christ can get us to that point where we offend less and less. Had he nonetheless committed a trespass? Yes, he had. Though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. It was a sin through ignorance, in other words. The second part of the study of the points, God's standard for measuring trespasses. Lee is coming in there. The natural man recognizes wrong against neighbor far more than wrong against God in holy things. How true that is. Therefore, the unwitting trespass will not be recognized by the natural man. He will even claim that because he was unaware of his sin, therefore it was no sin. To the man who spends a lot of time in learning of the holy things, there will be many more opportunities through the weakness of the flesh to commit trespass. That's like what we read earlier. The law will make it more apparent. The word of God makes it more apparent. And sin becomes exceeding sinful through that law. He will also be aware of the fact that we all sin through ignorance. But whether knowingly or unwittingly, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Leviticus 5, verse 17. So what is, I'm not sure what that, why that's there. Leviticus 5, 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. So what is the standard by which we are judged? The standard of judgment in the trespass offering is not in our own conscience or our ability, but the truth of God. And that's a real central point. And that's how we, if the second resurrection, people come up with their own conscience and declaring their own ability, not recognizing that God is going to judge them. If a man's own conscience could be his guide, then each person would have a different standard of judgment. God always judges evil as evil, wherever he sees it. His judgment is not being altered by our blindness or ignorance. God has an unchanging standard, and thank you, Father, that he does, because he changes not, you sons are the sons of God are not consumed and destroyed. Our old man is destroyed because of that standard, but because God doesn't change, this work that he started in us can be finished. Leviticus 5, verse 15, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And really, what that's telling us is it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And but for the grace of God, go we. It's God's favor to chase and discourage, to present us as a living sacrifice through Christ, and to apply that shekel of the fifth, the grace and the faith of Christ in our lives. So that's the unchanging standard of God. He's correcting, he's growing us up, he's maturing us, so that we can be acceptable through Christ. He's doing it through Christ so that we can be in that blessed and holy first resurrection, Lord willing. So much for the false doctrine that sin is only in our minds, only in our carnal minds. Neither sin nor trespass depend upon our knowledge of the sin or the trespass exclusively. So this is what he's saying. Like, you can sit in ignorance. God leads us to see sin and trespasses as he sees sin and trespasses. He reveals to us what is his grace in forgiving it. He reveals to us our need for that grace. Trespass is met by Christ in this offering, as Christ has confessed it, endured the judgment, and paid the penalty. God's standard is not something we have within us innately, being a law unto ourselves does not mean that we are God's law unto ourselves. And that's being burnt out of us, because that's the Gentile who's being witnessed to in Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory within, being witness to all that of that Gentile law unto myself within me every day, God willing, if I'm dying daily. The law simply condemns. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Quoted from the law of Moses, but notice of whom this verse is speaking. Notice of whom this verse is speaking. Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And of course, if that man is Christ being hung on the tree, and we are mortifying the deeds of our flesh through Christ, then we are very, very blessed, because we are then dead to sin on that cross and alive through Christ, through the faith of Christ. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23 is quoted as applying to Christ in Galatians 3:13, which we just read. This is done only by Christ taking our sins upon himself. It is through us, his body, that Christ becomes a man committing a sin worthy of death. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 there. Even though he knew no sin, Christ stands as, and that is a hard thing to wrap our minds. This is the whole idea of Adia, Christ taking on these things through us, all of the events of the world, all of the horrendous events of the world. They were ordained of God. As much as the righteousness was ordained, so were all things working according to the counsel of God's will. Christ stands as the just for the unjust, confessing our wrongs and satisfying our judgment in himself. In this way, any verse of God's word dealing with sin in Adam becomes Christ made sin. Look at what David, typifying Christ, says. Psalms 90, verses 7 to 12. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we are learning of God's anger and his wrath against our old man. So we know that. And this is, of course, a parable, this 70 and 80. The 80 is represents those who are blessed to, in the day of adversity, to endure through the 70. The eighth is of the seven. The 70 there is really talking about the process that we have to go through, the seals, the trumpets, the vials that we've been studying in Revelation. That's what we have to go through in order to be circumcised fully and endure until the end. And then in that day, if we're blessed, we will fly away. We will be resurrected in the first resurrection. So who knows the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Christ took on himself all the sins of the world, not just the sins of believers. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. But he's the Savior of all men. 1 John 2, verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Galatians 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And now the third point, in Christ, full restitution is paid in the trespass offering. Full restitution is paid in the trespass offering. Besides the life laid down in the offering, the priest ordered restitution and a fifth part more to be to the injured party. Leviticus 6, verses 5 and 6. Or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And of course, we know that he's talking about being accepted through Christ through that offering. There's no other way. We can't go to that altar if we're not going there through Christ. In the sin offering, money is not noted. Why not? It is because the sin offering is not for what we have done, either against God or our fellow man. The sin offering is for the fact that we are marred in the potter's hand, shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. In the sin offering, the offerer was a sinner, and a perfect victim bore the penalty. Christ, of course. This is here in the trespass offering, but also the original wrong is righted in the trespass offering, and more by a fifth. That's the grace, the shekel of the fifth. Why restitution plus a fifth? We will deal with the fifth in just a moment, but restitution is required because we have committed a trespass against either God or our fellow man. Sin and trespass are not the same thing. The sin offering was for being sinful flesh. Trespass offering was for sinning while in that sinful flesh. It just seems so obvious to us now when we read this, but it wasn't very long ago when I did not see or know any of this, and you don't hear it. It's not preached in Babylon, and it keeps people disconnected from the relationship with Christ, not seeing how we're part of the body of Christ, how our communion is the body and the blood of Christ. And this is what these two offerings really make bright for us. It's the body and the blood of Christ. It's his body, which is the trespass, and the life of Christ which is our communion. Christ was made sin. He was not made trespass. Christ took on him the seed of Abraham, sinful flesh. Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 16. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And of course, he can do that through us. Now he is doing that through us, Lord willing. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, a special sin-free ovum, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, sinful flesh needing to be resisted and overcome, just like each of us, dying daily. If Christ were in any way different in the war he fought, then these words are meaningless. Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, not through a birth which made him anything other than the Son of Man. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, Adam and all living, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that is a wonderful note to end on, to remind us how much our Father loves us and how blessed we are to have a high priest who identifies with the wretchedness. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So we have that hope. And next week, of course, we'll do part two. We'll go there. Thank you, everyone, for coming out.